All right, let's look at 14. This is probably not a scripture you would want to read. You wouldn't want to read this scripture, but we don't skip over it because you don't want to read it. God put it in there for a reason, so it's just part of the good news. It's all about Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And you might be surprised, but Lucifer is the king of Babylon. But we'll see that in a minute. So the king of Babylon is not the king of Babylon. Lucifer is the king of Babylon. In other words, the king behind the king is the real king. And so whatever Lucifer did, as in hell, so on earth. So his desire is to destroy the nations. And but he gets his comeuppance. Thank God. Lucifer, oh, by the way, that's the word for luck. It's not Lucifer, but Luke. So Luke actually is the name for Lucifer or luck. Luck, Luke, it's the same. So we don't believe in that. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in fate, dharma, karma. We don't believe in all that. We believe in God. And so nothing is luck. Nothing is chance. Nothing just happens. Nothing is determined. We get to decide for ourselves. We're free. I'll decide who I want to be. If I want to be happy, I can be happy. Do y'all see that? I can choose that if I want to. Does everybody here chosen happiness? All the time. No matter what happens. No matter how it appeareth. So, but if you want to be miserable, you can be miserable too. It doesn't take a lot of brains, but you can do it. As a matter of fact, it's rather foolish. I can't imagine anyone choosing misery. But that's a choice. And there's no necessity for it. There's no karma. There's no predestination. There's nothing making you choose that except you wanted to. If you're miserable and unhappy, you chose it. And you wanted to. Because you don't have to be that. You just chose to. You wanted to. It's okay. God still loves you. But misery is really not what he intended. He actually wanted you to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And so I'm doing it. Why? Because he said so. I trust him. I believe in him. I don't believe that people have a right to be miserable. They don't have any right. So when God says, be happy, I'm being happy. Why? It's better. I don't know. It's better. Happiness is better than misery. Have you ever tried the two? Yeah. The second one is not so good. I don't think you're made for self-hatred. Did you hear what I said? Misery is self-hatred. Poor me. That's your choice. Well, things stink. That's your choice. I say the opposite. Hallelujah me! I love it. I've chosen to be happy all the time. Why? I just did. I didn't choose for any reason. I just choose to be happy all the time. And Jesus won't stop me. He likes me to be happy all the time. That's proof that I'm a son. You know, when a child grows up in a home where he's loved and cared for and taken, you know, just loved for no reason at all, he's happy. He has no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Little kids are like that until you ruin them. They're like that. They just go around dancing and, you know, they don't know anything except joy, unspeakable. And we spoiled all our kids. We, not spoiled them, but we protected them, let's say, from the ravages of the world. And we raised them that way so that they didn't, you know, hear and see anything but Jesus. We took all pictures off the wall. We took all music, throw it out. No, they only heard Jesus things. They only saw Jesus things. We converted the whole house. I remember Cara, the oldest one. The whole house was transformed. We even put a little sign up on the door, Jesus is Lord. This is his house. And so, I got that out of the Bible. It said in the Bible, put that on the doorpost, put that, you know, here, only hear things that are holy, that are true, that are just, you know. I just did that, and we ruined our kids that way by letting them think that we were a perfect family. We weren't, but we said we were because of Jesus. So we built our house not on our feelings or our thoughts or our emotions. And that was great. And I didn't have this sign in my house, but my aunt did. That's actually we called her Aunt May. But she was my grandmother's sister. But she had this sign, be yourself. And as a little kid, I remember it was right inside the door. I looked at that and thought, that is stupid. How could you not be yourself? I mean, how could you be something other than what you are? That didn't make any sense to me. I just looked at that thing, be yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Be yourself. Are you comfortable with yourself? Good, bad, indifferent, satanic, you, Jesus, doesn't make any difference. Just be comfortable. I never work or labor. I never put any effort into living. Did you hear what I just said? I don't maintain relationships. I don't care if today I'm dead, tomorrow, you know, I'm resurrected. I don't really care. I'm just having a blast every day of my life. The past, all the guilt is gone. The future, all the fear in there, because Jesus has it all. And so therefore, I just celebrate in the present. When I go to Uganda, I'll forget all about Dallas. I won't remember it. I won't even remember who's here. As soon as I get on that plane, I'm on the plane. And as soon as I get to Uganda, I'm in Uganda. And I'm 100%, and I don't remember anybody or anything. I'm just 100% doing what I'm doing. It's just like when you go to heaven, you just forget all the earth stuff. It's like a mother who has the baby, she just forgets all those days of, you know, pain and sorrow, and just forget everything, that baby's born. So I put 100% into what I'm doing, and I have no recollection of what I did before. Now, if you want someone to care for you constantly and continually, it's not me. That's me. That's not me. Thank God I married Peggy, because Peggy remembers all the stuff I don't think about. Don't forget your toothpaste, you know, whatever. She knows everything that I'm supposed to do. Make sure you pick up that package for Alex. You know, she remembers all that stuff. Oh, yeah, I got it. But then I forget. Between the time I walk out the door, I've already forgotten. Because I'm just caught up in the moment of whatever I'm doing. I walk outside and see the trees, and all of a sudden I like trees. And I forgot about the house. So, is God not good? I don't remember it all, falling off a roof or hitting my head or all that. I don't remember any of that. I could make myself remember, but I'd have to make myself do it. I don't want to. Because then I wouldn't have any fun right now. If I was thinking about the past, good or bad, I'd be in the past. Or if I was thinking about the future, how heaven is, I'm already in heaven. I don't need to go to heaven to be happy. I'm not living like heaven when I get there. I'm already in heaven now. Heaven is today. It's right now. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. I'm already in the come. I'm already there. The future is already the present. In other words, everything is caught up in the I am of the present. God am, I am. So I don't know about a past. That's been taken care of by Jesus. I don't care about the future. That's taken care of by Jesus. I just love Jesus. That's all. So I just celebrate. Now, is there anyone else here that could say, Pastor, that's just like me too. I'm always celebrating. All right. Sabrina. Lou. Anyone else? Yes, Lynn. Jack. Praise God. 4, 5, 6. Oh, there's some more. Praise God. That is too much fun. I tell you, people will not like you if you're like that. They don't like you. Because it's a threat. It's a threat to them. Why don't you be miserable like me? I don't care if it's a threat or not. I'll do what I want to do. I'm celebrating. Celebrate. I'm always celebrating. Why? I don't know why. It's just a choice. I choose to do it because I believe God is good. God is great. God is awesome. God is all. He's my all in all. He's everything. All right, now let's look at the 14th chapter. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. All right, here's Jacob, chair number one here. Remember chair number one? Remember that? Here's chair number one. I'm only going to use two chairs today. Chair number one. That's Jacob. Jacob was told to behave himself. What did he do? You know, Jacob is the same as Jim. Cheater. So, is a cheater. Someone that cheats. Deceptive. Not good. Bad. Okay, so Jacob later got his name changed to Israel. The year in the front of it means future, shall, and the ra is the part of the word rosh, is ra, and el is God. So what he's saying is, you shall reign with God. You shall reign with God. So here's a sinner, Jacob, cheater, but you shall reign with God. I like that. So he says, I'll have mercy, I'll forgive his sins, and then I'll give him the Holy Spirit, and then I'll get him to make look just like a reign with God person. In other words, you shall not reign on your own, in your own power, but you shall reign with God. So I will have mercy. It's an absolute guarantee. This sinner right here will have all God's mercy, all God's love, all God's favor, everything. Not because of anything he didn't do or did do, but totally because of who God is. Now, he didn't see it for a while. In fact, he tried to do one of these things. This one is chair number two. Who remembers what chair number two is? It's a little higher. I'm putting it up here. I'm exalting this chair. I'm going to exalt this chair. What is chair number two? Oh, Peg. You listen to me all the time. That's not fair. It's a hypocrite. That's you not wanting to look like a sinner when you are. And so you transform yourself. You save yourself from right here where God's going to get you. And you think, oh, he's going to get me. Ha, ha, ha. I'll just sit up here. See, God, I'm innocent. I'm pure. I'm clean. Oh, I've done a few wrong things, but nothing serious. My basic nature is good. Yeah, you don't have to kill me now. You don't have to be against me. Calm down. Now, that's a hypocrite. And the Jewish people, still to this day, still think of themselves as keeping the law. Well, they know they don't do it perfectly, but as good as possible. And so, you know, all religious people are like that. That is nothing but religious hypocrisy, pretending like it's not chair number one. It's just a mask. It's a masquerade. In the masquerade, you put on a mask, but you still are you. But you think you're the actress or the actor that the mask looks like. And you confuse yourself. Satan is the author of confusion. And so the whole world today, the entire world today, all poetry, all literature, all politics, all business, it's all built on this mask. Let's pretend like we're better than we are. Let's not be what we are, uncivilized barbarians. Let's pretend like we're wonderful people. And so that's the civilization that we've built. How many know that that's not a good rock to build your civilization on? Remember, Abraham was looking for a city with foundation. He wasn't talking about a rock. He was talking about the rock. He was looking for the rock. And the rock is Jesus. Is our nation today built on Jesus? Is our church built on Jesus? Is anything built on Jesus? Because he's the rock of our salvation. He's the hope. But I'm going to tell you something. This chair right here will never be saved or loved or cared for. Never. God does not like this chair. And he won't save it. And it'll never believe in Jesus. It'll never get converted. So you can't say, well, I used to be a sinner, but now I've improved myself. I did it. You know what he's going to say to those that come to him? Say, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Depart from me, you evildoer. I'm not one of these. I used to be. I'm now better. I've improved. You should have seen me last week. God doesn't see any difference. Quelle difference? What difference? What difference have you made? You see, you still are you. Now, most of you won't be yourself. You don't want to be yourself. But that's who you are apart from Christ. And the only one that he loves is chair number one. He loves chair number one. The only gospel is given to sinners. It's not given to the righteous. That is, those that are self-righteous. That is, those that have labored and worked and made a big effort to behave themselves. I never made a big effort to behave myself. I just did whatever I had to do to survive and get my way. That's all. I cheated all the way through school. I've told you that. I lied. I conned people. I just did that all the time. It's just natural. It's a natural with me. I was just trying to survive. And so the best way, the quickest way was just lie, cheat, steal. Why, you know, why study when you can just cheat? So I just learned to go the way I wanted to go. I totally willed it. I had no reason for it. I had no justification for it. Somebody say, why do you do what you do? I don't know. I mean, I'm like a little kid that goes, why'd you hit your sister? I don't know. I hit her because I wanted to. That's it. Do y'all see that? I just wanted to. Well, why'd you do that? I don't know. I didn't have any reasons. I didn't come up with any emotional thing like, well, you hit me first. I just hit you because I wanted to. Period. I stole from you because you weren't looking. That's all. I just wanted to. Did you need it? I don't know. I never thought about it. Just felt like doing it. Y'all see how we are? So I was a sinner, which is totally wrong. This is the wrong thing. God created you not to be like this. And look, here you are, like this. Now, the amazing thing is that God is not what I thought He was. Because I would never, if I were God, the Holy One, like somebody who was unholy. I thought He created us to be like Himself. And I never was like Himself. I was like me. I was a rebel. I was rebellious. I was like the king of Babylon. I was just proud of myself. I like being me. Now, is anybody like that? Deep down, deep down, deep down, deep down, deep down, deep, 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 so that no one else can see it. But I'm still me. And I'm still after myself. And even after you're a Christian, you still find little signs of that every once in a while. Just small, but they're there. Little evidences that you haven't changed one whit. And sometimes even the devil will say to you, you're mine. You're not, you're a phony, you're a fake, you're not real. And he's trying to say, he's trying to point out that this me is not the real me at all. But he helped me to create this. He actually suggested it. He said, you know, Jim, if God's going to get you, here's how to avoid Him. Get up in this chair, here. And as soon as He tempted me and I did it, then He accused me. Ah, you're not a Christian. You're not a God person. You're a bad person like me. You're going to hell. Welcome to the family. And did you know that the accuser of the brethren is actually the tempter? First he tempts you and then immediately he accuses you. God, did you see that? You see what she just did? Ha! And so the devil loves doing that. Hey, you could exalt yourself. This could be your day. Let's worship you. Did you know that we all want that? All I want to do is walk in a room and have people just, oh, wow. I don't know. Isn't that evil? Isn't that evil? That's me. And did you know the humblest person on earth is actually evil, just like that? Did you know that we're all alike? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. See, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't trouble me that I was in that chair. I never got in this chair. I never sat in this chair. This is my first time. I love this chair. But it's actually the same as this chair. This chair is not a chair at all. It doesn't even exist. In the mind of God, who isn't in time and space, you're already dead. Your life is totally in vain. This move from chair one to chair two is vain. In other words, it's nothing. In other words, you didn't make a move. It's only an apparent move. It's only a synthetic move, artificial move. You actually are still you. Be yourself. So there are many who are members of churches, but they're really just satanic people still. Evil. But they just go to church and go through the rituals or, you know, do whatever you're supposed to do, say whatever you're supposed to say, appear however you're supposed to appear. And they really don't love Jesus with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. And they're really not happy all the time. They're really still mad, depressed. They're really still troubled. They're really still in this world, even though they claim to be believers. They're still stuck in this world. And they can deny it all the time, you know. I'm the righteous of Christ. Yeah, but you're not. I mean, you are maybe in your heart or something, but your body and your soul ain't not. And therefore, that isn't trouble of a real believer, because they just go, well, that's just appearance. My new man is. Okay, as long as you know that, that what you just did and felt and thought was sinful, that that's not really you, no problem. But if you actually believe you are what you say just because you say it, that's called profession. Just because I profess being a Christian doesn't mean I am. Now, what Jesus wants is the evidence, and those are the other chairs. I'm not going to put those up. The other chairs are my repentance, my faith, my growth, all that stuff, till I finally sit in chair 7, the glorious throne chair. But these first two chairs, that is Israel, Jacob. Remember, I called him two names. Jacob is his natural name, and then Israel is his promised by God name. In other words, that's the name that God gave him. You shall be. You shall reign with God. You shall rule with God. Wow. That's incredible. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that you're a ruler with God? Say it. I'm a ruler with God. That means you're an under-ruler. You're not really the ruler like you get to do what you want. You're the ruler that says, I don't want anything except what God wants, ruler. I just want to say his words, do his deeds, think his thoughts, feel his feelings. I just want, that's the kind of ruler I am. Because he made a promise and said he would. I'm not a promise keeper. He is. I don't keep promises. But he does. So the new me, that's the me that has faith, not works. I don't do any works. I'm not a good person. Don't want to be a good person. Never will be a good person. Never have been. I don't plan to be. Ever. 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 Because I think only God is good. So you don't catch me like working at it. Pastor, you seem so sincere today. I know there's some people that think I should be like, look like, act like a pastor or something. I don't want to. It's whatever I am. Because I know Jesus loves me just the way I am. Just as I am without one plea. Now, who I am is who I choose to be based on my faith that Jesus said, that's who you are. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Okay, well, that's who I am. Now, is that just a faith statement? Look, I say that because it's written down. If I also feel it, that doesn't make it more true. If I also understand it, that doesn't make it more true. If I do something, that still doesn't make it more true. I'm not going to heaven by any of those things. I don't even check with my mind, my will, my emotions, my deeds. I don't check with any of those. Just check with the Word. Whatever the Word says, that's my rock. In other words, my righteousness is not my righteousness. It's actually my righteousness, which is Christ Jesus, my righteousness. So, when he's up in heaven, I'm up in heaven. Wherever he is, I is. I love that. Don't you love that? That's the truth that'll set you free. You're not going to be a believer just by believing that Jesus came to earth and died for you. A believer is not one who stops at believing. He's one that continues on if you continue in my word. Not if you're just born again. Not if you're just born because you believe in Jesus dying for you. That's not it. That's only the beginning. It's not he who begins, but he who endures through the suffering and the pain and so on and so forth to the end, which is your perfection, glorification. We have those chairs. So justification, sanctification, glorification. Now, this chapter, all about Satan, listen to it carefully. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel. In other words, that's his choice. That's not your choice, that's his choice. And set them in their own land. Because Jacob and Israel are a people, not just a person. And the strangers shall be joined with them. You and I are strangers, most of us. We're strangers because we're Gentiles, goyim. Now, you will also be with them in their land. When God sets them, you'll be with them. Right now, we're not with them. They're not with us. But that's okay. He promised. He promised. He promised. He promised. He swore. So, because God swore, that means, and next year I want to go to Israel. I could go this fall, but I don't want to. I want to see the fireworks here. But I believe God wants me to see the fireworks here. That's what I'm saying. I wanted to go to Israel, but I believe God said, no, you stay here. But I want to see what's happening because I believe something powerful is going to happen here, not there. And so the Antichrist is trying to get his deal going. And he's getting pretty close. I don't know if you can sense that he's getting pretty close. He's just about got his little kingdom thing worked out. And he's trying to overthrow us. He's trying to overthrow Texas. He's not afraid of America. He's afraid of Texas. Yeehaw! He's afraid of us. He's scared. He's scared of us because we're crazy down here. You know, we may have taken the bullhorns off the Cadillac, but they're in the garage. You know, they're out in the back pasture. We'll bring them out again. Because we're going all the way with Jesus, and I believe it's Dallas. I don't believe it's Fort Worth. I believe it's Dallas. I believe the revival, this is supernatural, I'm telling you. I believe the revival is going to start right here. So you are a special people, not because you're special, but because God is. And he can do what he wants, willy-nilly. He can just do what he wants. Doesn't have to check with you or see if he's got any good believers here. He can do it anywhere he wants to, at any time, anyhow. But I believe he's going to do it here, from what I know from God, reading the scripture, but also having the Lord speak to me. All right. And strangers in their own land, in other words, we're going to be together, shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So we're going to cleave to this house here, not this house here. Because next is repent, next is believe, and so on, until the end. Now, I believe this is where you start, is you have to be loved by Jesus in order to grow. You won't go on to the other chairs unless you grow right here. Let him love sinners. He loves sinners who repent. Now, that doesn't mean he loves you because you repented. That means you repented because you believe. I said I was only going to have two chairs, but I'll put the third chair here. This one can never repent. It will not because it thinks it's okay. It's halfway there. Not true. This is the only one that Jesus came to love. This is, and that is amazing because how could God, holy God, love sinners when he has a law that says don't? And he gets his way all the time. So how can he have somebody who do what he said don't? Well, I don't know, but that's another word he had. And that's why he said, change your mind. You thought I was going to kill you. Wrong. When you sinned, I killed Jesus. Fooled you. Why can't God be better than you imagine he is? Why can't God be good? And is it good for God to put a burden on you? Behave yourself and don't do wrong. Is it good for God to do that? How many have tried raising children that way? They don't obey. They don't do what you say. Outwardly, hypocrite, yes, they can be in that upper chair. But the truth is, as soon as they get free from you, boom. They're going to do what they want to do, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it, and they aren't. I don't care if you're Christian or not, they're going to just still do what they want. So you have to then raise them in such a way that they're comfortable knowing, I love you unconditionally, I don't care what you do, you are Jacob, cheater, but you shall be judging and ruling with God. That's your future. Your future is because you don't yet know me, and it's not up to you to know me. It's up to me to make myself known. I got another word for you. Not law, gospel. And because of the goodness of God, you're led to repentance. So repentance is actually a fruit of the fact that God doesn't love this chair, but he loves this chair. You at your best is actually a lie. This is you. You at your worst. You at your worst is that you're rebellious. You don't like God. You're selfish. You just want for yourself. You don't care about God. You don't care about his kingdom. You just want to do your own thing all the time. You want to watch the shows you want to watch. You want to eat the food you want to eat. You want to dress the way you want to dress. You want to talk the way you want to talk. You do what you want all the time. Even if you're a believer, you still do that. And even if you pretend like you're not like that, you still are what you are. A sinner, but now no longer a sinner. Now you become a new man. Sorry, I'm going to bring out all these chairs. But this new man is my faith man. I now have faith that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I didn't have any in chair number one. That was a fake where I saved myself in chair number two. There's my Savior right there. My joy, my all in all, everything I've ever wanted and looked for. So I repent that this was not salvation. This is. So my repenting is God loves sinners. Unbelievable. First he said not to sin, then he said I love you. That was the same God. He didn't change. God didn't change. He always loved you. From the time he gave you the law was, don't do that, knowing that you would, so that then he could say, I forgive you. So that then he could say, now I give you the Holy Spirit. So that then he could say, and then he could say, and then he could say, we live by every word, not just one. We don't just live by the law. The whole world lives by one word. Behave yourself. They are still stuck right there. And Aristotle can't get them out. Plato can't get them out. And that's all there is today in the world. I don't know if you know that. The synthetic reasoning, the rhetoric of Aristotle is still the dominant force in our politics, in our religion, in our music, in our art, and in everything. You know nothing about the world if you don't realize that those original guys are just saying what's always been said by Nimrod, by Baal. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing has changed. We are still in a Roman world, which has Greek philosophy behind it. So the Roman force behind the Greek idea is not ideal, it's wicked, wretched. There is no glory to Greece or Rome or Babylon or Persia or any other kingdom. So what God is telling us is Satan is behind the whole world, simple, real simple. Either Satan is God or God is God. You have to decide that. Or you might think you are, but you're not. So Satan isn't God either. He's just a creature. And let's see what kind of a creature this guy is. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. In other words, the strangers, us. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, not us, whose captives they were. Ah, so he's not talking about us, the strangers in the land. He's actually talking about Babylon. He's talking about the people that once gathered them and caught them are now their captives. In other words, the one like Babylon who captured you is now captured. They are now your servants and your slaves. Did you know that this world will serve us? Are you aware of that? So this he's saying to Israel, even though they took you captive. That was who? Well, that was Egypt, and then Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, then Rome. They will all be captured by you at the end times, at the final day. All right? And whose captives they were, Israel. And they shall rule over their oppressors. That is justice. That Israel will be exalted, even though Israel today is blackguarded. Israel today is not wonderful and glorious and loving Jesus. It doesn't matter. Because God forgives sinners. You remember how we got in? That's how they're going to get in. God gave us mercy. He gives them mercy. Why? Because he spoke again another word. His first word was, don't do it. And if you do, you die. His second word was, okay, you're not going to die. Jesus is going to die for you. His third word is, I forgive you. And I'm going to not only am I going to save you and have mercy upon you, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to change you, transform you into the likeness of Jesus. Not Buddha, not moral people, not, you know, some great person. No, Jesus. That's the only rock. That's the only measure. That's the only standard for this world. The problem with America today is she's messing with the rock. We're not arguing over how you get there. We're arguing over the end of government. Is the end of government to redistribute your wealth? Or is it to actually give you the pursuit of happiness? Is it actually to give you your life, your liberty, and your pursuit of happiness? It doesn't make any difference. I don't really even care. All I'm trying to tell you is we're arguing today not over what kind of nation we are, but whether we're a nation under God and a state under God. We added that a couple of years ago in our Texas flag allegiance thing. We added the word under God. I wanted to make that clear. No other state did it. We were the ones that did it. And so, I don't know, maybe we're still the only state that did it. But we put that in there to show we're under God. Now, that is the only foundation for a city, for a civilization, for a state, for a nation, for a world. That's the foundation that when Abraham went wandering about, he was looking for a city, a country, with foundation. That was the foundation, Jesus. So you can't have Muslim. You can't have Hindu, Buddhist. Those nations are no nations at all. They're just hypocrite nations at best, and at worst, they're just wicked. And that's why you're seeing what's happening today with the three nations built on Abraham. The Jewish nation, the original, then the Christian nation, us, and then the Muslim nation, false prophet. They're all built on Abraham. So how would you convert those, all those other two religions? Easy, Abraham. The Jews need to go back to Abraham, not to Moses. They need to get free from the law, live in grace. They need to have Jesus be their only hope, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And when they do that, and that'll be easy. Why? Because they already have the foundation. Same with the Muslims. The Muslims who are false prophets are not all going to perish. Many of them, when they see Israel converting, they themselves will convert. And there are multitudes today of Muslims, multitudes, who are coming to Yeshua HaMashiach. But they wouldn't call him that. But they've actually returned to Sarah. They've actually come back. Remember when the maid walked out and, you know, bye-bye. And then God out in the desert said, you go back and you submit to Sarah. So that's why Ishmael, that's why all of those that have fallen away will have to come back so that the captors will now become the captive. Now, that's God's promise. Forget the newspaper. You're not going to read any of this in the newspaper. You're not even going to hear about it. But I'm still, it's right here in the 14th chapter. And it shall come to pass, 3, in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from your sorrow. In other words, Israel hadn't had that. She doesn't have that rest from her sorrow. She's still melancholy. She's still sad today. She's still, you know, hated. And from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Now, who made her to serve? Well, Babylon, Persia, and so on. But actually, it was God. Actually, God turned them over and said, if you won't do what I say under the law, and you won't admit, you see, all you need to do here, when you sin, here's all you need to do. God, I'm sorry, forgive me. But no flesh will ever do that. God, okay, I sinned against you, I'm sorry. Uh-uh. Flesh is always going to sew fig leaves on and pretend like I didn't do it. What? What? Are we naked? We're not naked. God, come on. Get real. Now you see, God sees right through your fig leaves. He sees through all your rationalizations and all of your desires and all your passions and all your emotions. And he sees through all that stuff, all your deeds, fake and phony, not acceptable. No, sorry. I want perfect. That's Jesus. Jesus is me. That's my perfect right there. Faith instead of works. So works will never get you anywhere. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The only way to get rest is stop working. You enter into his Sabbath, Shabbat. Okay, the Shabbat rest is that rest where you don't do anything. God does it all. Now, I know a lot of people hate that message. They hate that message because you say, we don't do anything, Pastor. Right. Well, that's not right. You have to do something. No, you don't. Not only don't you have to do anything, you can't. Not only that, Jesus did it. It's already did. It's over. Jesus was already perfect. How do you add to perfect? Well, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in. Well, he doesn't want your 2 cents. That'll just mess it up. So don't add anything. How many know you don't have to clean up? You don't have to clean up. Jesus already cleaned up himself. That's you. You are Jesus. In other words, what Jesus did, he did for you. He did it in you. He's doing it through you. Let him do it all. He loves it. To God be the glory. So God wants all the glory. What's he going to do? Just share it with you. As soon as he gets all the glory, then he shares it with you. Hey, thank you, all the glory. I got all the glory. Now here, join me. So everything that God inherits is you. Everything you inherit is God. You don't inherit like, I got 4 crowns, you only got 2. We don't have that. I know that's a big teaching, but it's wrong. The only thing you inherit in heaven, there's only one thing to inherit, God. You don't get, you know, oh, I only got the knee. I only got his foot. You know, no. That's silly. The heart of God is all there is. He doesn't have knees and foots and stuff. So there isn't anything in heaven where you have more crowns than somebody else or nicer dress or somebody has a bikini. Uh-uh. No. We're all going to inherit the Lord. Stop it. You're thinking human. I want a street of gold house, mansion. I want my own mansion.
I only live a block from Jesus.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that.
I live in the middle of Highland Park. You know, you live way out in the boonies.
No, it's not like that. You all understand? So get rid of that. You are not second rate, third rate, fifth. When you're in Jesus Christ, you didn't just barely make it in the door. Thank God I'm in. No. Everybody's in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You don't go in. Jesus goes in. And if you're in Jesus, you're in.
Amen.
That's all. So you are a new race of people. That, verse 4, thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. So you would imagine he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar or his grandson, Belshazzar and all that kind of stuff. No, he's not talking about any of that. He's talking about Satan. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and the king of Rome and the king of, you know, Ireland, everything. And how hath the oppressor ceased? This is the proverb you're going to say. How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? In other words, Babylon, Babylon, the great has fallen. In other words, you're just kind of like amazed. How could that city? That was a city, I've explained this before, but that was a city with 200-foot tall walls. That's tall. And 8 chariots wide as this room, or maybe wider, between those two walls that are up so tall. And then it goes 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles, 60 miles square. It's an unbelievable city, and it was all beautiful, gorgeous. And then in the middle of it was a big tower, a big glorious, you know, temenos with a big palace, but a bigger temple. It was all dedicated to Marduk, which is nothing more than Nimrod, which is nothing more than Baal, which is nothing more than Satan. It's just Satan. Satan inspired all that. Don't think Nimrod thought it up. It was just Satan. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. This has not yet happened. It's happened in heaven. It's declared on earth, but you haven't seen it with your eyes. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people, king of Babylon, in wrath with a continual stroke. So he's talking about the Jewish people who were continually being beaten by this guy. He that ruleth the nations, not just Israel, in anger, he is persecuted and no one stops him. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. In other words, nobody can stop what God wants to do. God wants to do something, he's going to do it. He did it. So he just told you before it even happens, it's already done. He just told you that don't put your hope in America. Don't put your hope in any nation. Don't put your hope in any prince. Don't put your hope in any man, no pastor, no nothing. Put your hope in the Lord. That's all. That's all. And the whole earth is at rest. Wow. And is quiet. Wow. Why? Because the wicked have been suddenly removed. They break forth then into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, king of Babylon, no feller is coming up against us. In other words, as soon as the king failed, you didn't need to chop the trees down to build palaces anymore. So all of a sudden, the cedars of Lebanon are excited because that's why they were chopped down to make boats and to make, you know, palaces and stuff like that. Hell, verse 9, from beneath is moved. The Hebrew word is Sheol. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So in other words, this is talking about a future that no one has seen yet. This has already happened in God's mind, but it hadn't happened yet on the earth. You haven't seen it. That all the kings of the earth will pray before the Lord and bow down and humble themselves. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So God's got his own king guy that he's going to bring forth, and his name is Jesus. And all shall speak and say unto thee, art thou, he's talking about Satan, also become weak as we are? Art thou become like unto us? In other words, where's all your glory? Where's all your high and lifted up stuff? Where's all your, you know, majesty? Every king will be cast down because what is a king? A king is just a servant of God. He's just a trustee of all the benefits that go to you. But there has never been such a king, ever, except Jesus. He's the only king that when he saw you were in trouble, he died for you. He was the only king that came to Jacob and said, "Hi, I'm the king of Israel. I'm the king, the one that you were supposed to reign, and that's me. I'm the seed. I'm the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham, but I'm the seed of the seed of the seed of the seed of the seed, and I'm the one." So Jesus is the only king that ever said, "Not my will, but thine be done," to the Father, which is to make you the wife, to make you sit on the throne. So therefore, I'm already on the throne. Chair number 7. I'm already on the throne. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places now. And I'm already reigning and ruling. I may not know what I'm doing, but I'm sitting there. Thus and so and thus and so. Did I say that wrong? You know. And so, did I say that wrong? Yeah. You say, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Ah, I'm learning. How many know that you're just learning? You're on a learning curve, and you're going to be fine. When you get to heaven, you'll have it down. But for right now, for example, you know, in getting ready for Uganda, I've already packed my bags a week ago, and they're just sitting there. They're already ready. And I practice lifting them and carrying them and, you know, making sure I have my comb and, you know, everything. I've got it all arranged because I'm in rehearsal for the day that I'm there. So I'm not here anymore. This is I'm not even here. I'm already, you know, on the plane tomorrow. And I'm afraid somebody's going to get lost. Say, Alex, you're not going to. You get there early. And I don't want to be looking for you. Where's Alex? You know, he's singing out in the, you know, foyer. Okay. Let's see. And thy pomp, verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down, pompous, to the grave. It doesn't say grave, but actually to the tomb. So all these kings have their own tombs, their own little things. All of them, except the one, the king of Babylon. He does not have a tomb. Why? Because Satan is not allowed to stay in his tomb. Now watch. Watch what happens. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and to the noise of thy violins, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now he names the king of Babylon as Lucifer. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? What does it mean, weaken the nations? Satan's job is to weaken the nations. How would they be strengthened? By the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Abraham was looking for, and Abraham is going to find that city, and he found it. And it's Mount Zion in the land of Israel today. No, it's actually a spiritual Mount Zion. Mount Zion is not, you know, go find the Ark of the Covenant or, you know, go dig up Noah's Ark or something. No, you don't want that. You want the spiritual covenant. God with us. Fact, you are it. You're not going to the Holy Land when you go. You are the Holy Land. The holiness of God resideth by the abiding Holy Spirit in you. You're the temple of the living God. Not alone, but all of us. But you individually are a pillar. You're a part of that temple. And so, this guy, though, doesn't have anything. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. That's that chair sitting up on top. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. In other words, above all the other angels. I will sit pride. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. But here's what happens. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Remember when Satan told Eve to eat? Eat like you'll be like God. In other words, if you learn Aristotle and Plato, and if you learn all the stuff of this earth, how to save yourself and how to make yourself great and glorious and so on, if you sit up on that little throne up there, you will be great. No, you won't. You'll be dead. You're a fool. There is no chair like that. There is no glory for you. You cannot abide pomp. You're not pompous. Stop being pompous. I believe there's one person in here who's pompous. So, don't worry about it. It's all of us. But don't worry about that. The point is that you're in Christ now. You're no longer pompous because that guy has no future. But you have one. Satan, listen to Satan. This is what Satan does. Yet, with all of your pride, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake the nations? In other words, Satan is a liar, and everyone's going to be amazed when they pull back the curtain, Toto's help, pull back the curtain and you realize that's just a guy with a microphone. And the guy is smaller than the Geico guy. He's really little. And you realize, God, is this the guy, Satan? He's nothing. I could squash him with my foot. Someday you'll realize that Satan is nothing. It was your own sinfulness. It was your own wickedness. Don't ever be afraid of the big bad wolf. Don't be afraid of Satan. Don't be afraid of anything. Perfect love casts out all fear. Just do what God says. What's he says? Well, listen to all the words he says, not just one of them. Listen to the word not about his law. You have to start with that one. That's his first word. But then he's got a second word and a third word and a fourth word. And he just keeps going until you're perfected. Because he makes promises, 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 promises. The first word was a law. The rest of them are all promises. Everything else he says is a promise. Why? From his heart. No natural man knoweth the heart of God. None, 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 none. So none of the religions of this world are anything but works religions, all commands on what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. He enjoins by a command, and we forbear because he then prohibits by a command. I don't like that one. You have to do this. You shall not do this. By the way, God never gave a tree in the Garden of Eden that tells you that you have to do good. He gave you a tree where he said, you're free to eat of all the trees. Then he gave you, and that was all of them. And then he gave you another tree that said, thou shalt not eat this one. Okay, so that's what not to do, but he never said you have to do. He just said you may. You may eat of all the trees. That's just permission. That's not, there's no force there. Because when God wants good done, he doeth it. You don't doeth it. So there can't be a tree in the garden that says you have to believe in Jesus. No, you don't. You're free. You may eat of all the trees, just don't eat of this one. Guess what? We didn't eat of all the trees, we just ate of the one. The one he said not to eat, and we ate of that one. And we're still eating of it, even in the churches today. Churches today are totally built on the flesh, I'm sorry. I don't mean everyone, but basically most. They're just built out of flesh because all they want is this. Look good. Appear to be good. You know, look like a Christian. Act like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. But you don't want to admit, and very few people that I know really repented when they believed on Jesus. 4:3. So you have to repent before you believe. I don't know if you're aware of that. So what I'm repenting of is that I'm not good. He only is good. That's what I'm repenting of. And God loved me when I was not good. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. So what he's saying of Satan is not the Lord. He's a liar. He's been the liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's all the bad stuff that, there you are, right there, following him. Now, don't eat of the tree that he tells you to eat of. He says, you can eat of this. You'll be like God. Did you know you'll be like God? And that's what man today is trying to do, save himself. And everybody is. Democrats, Republicans, independents, you know, libertarians, whoever they are, all of them are trying to do something apart from Jesus, even though they all say Jesus, except some. But the point is, they're all saying Jesus as though words mattered. You've got to be very careful of words that men say because they're lies. So a politician will promise everything and deliver nothing. We have, it isn't just Democrats, it's Republicans too. They're lying. They can't do all that stuff they say they're going to do. Listen what happens to this guy. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and shook the nations, that made the world as a wilderness, because it didn't have the right foundation, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? He oppressed everybody. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory. Everyone in his own tomb. But thou art cast out, Satan. Thou art cast out of thy tomb, sepulchre, like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain. In other words, you look like a dead man, wrapped up in dead man's clothing. Thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit. The way they used to bury people was They would dig a deep pit, and then after they dug it, they would put stones going all the way down so you could then go down and see the sepulcher or whatever the thing was. So that was the way they used to do it. The kings, ancient kings, you're not aware of this because they do it differently now, but ancient kings were all buried in that manner where they dug a great deep pit, go down 20, 30 feet sometimes. And then they'd put the king down there with all of his stuff down there and so on. Even under the pyramid, same kind of thing. All that stuff. But this one says, you know, you won't be able to stay in this place. A carcass trodden under feet. You are just laying on the ground and people just trot over you. That's what God says is going to happen of Satan. Not going to have his little pit with stones going down to it. He's going to be thrust out of his sepulcher. Not going to be able to stay there. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. In other words, they're kings and you're the great king over them, and yet you won't even be joined with them in burial. Because thou hast destroyed thy land. You don't get to have your own sepulcher. And you have slain your people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned, never be honored, never be lifted up and pomped. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers that do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the earth with cities. That's what Satan has tried to do. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, cut off from Babylon the name, and the remnant, and the son, and the nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with this bosom of destruction. Besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. And that was kind of like a broom. The Lord of hosts shall hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. In other words, whatever God thinks, it happens. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. When God has a purpose for something, remember, when he created you, his purpose was you'd glorify God. His purpose was that you would live a happy and holy life. All right? When God purposes something, it always happens. So, I'm one of those. I am one of those. Why? Because he purposed it. It's not my idea. It's his. I wouldn't keep me. If I were God, I would sweep me away. But he won't do it. He likes me so much. Why? Because I was a liar and I acknowledged it. God, I am a liar and I don't deserve anything. I'm no good. I don't have one decent bone in my body. And I'll kill you if you get close to me. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's who I am. But you apparently want me to believe in Jesus, and then I get to go to heaven with you. I'll take it. I just changed my mind. Oh, God is good. Did you know the goodness of God leads to repentance? The goodness of God leads to repentance. How do I get repentance? I don't get repentance. Flesh will never repent. This flesh is not going to repent. This flesh is not going to repent. Flesh doesn't repent. So how do I get that? Because I changed my mind that I thought God had a law for me, and he doesn't. That's all. There's the foundation right there of the world is faith. Faith in Yeshua, HaMashiach. So what the world needs, and see, right now, no one's thinking that we're going to have a spiritual revival. Sorry. We are going to have one. It's going to start here. We're going to have a spiritual revival. The world needs to know that Jesus Christ is the head of every city, every person, every church, every nation, everything. He is the Lord. Now, that word needs to go forth and then gather the harvest. Not everyone will come. Not every city will bow. It's okay. Just whatever it is. Whatever it is, God knows already. But if the truth doesn't go forth, you get nothing. The truth sets free. So we're about to preach this gospel to Uganda, to the whole world, until it comes to pass, because it will come to pass, because if God thinks a thing, it's done. And if he wants a thing and purposes a thing, it happens. All right, I'll quit. Now, God is so good. You read the rest of the chapter. It's a great chapter. Oh, there is a great verse at the very end. The Lord hath founded, remember the problem with Satan is he weakened the nation because it had no foundation, so it could fall. A house divided against itself fall. We're going to fall as a nation easily. Why? Because we're divided against ourselves. We're not only divided between Republicans and Democrats and this and that and so on. We're also divided among ourselves. Don't even get along with anybody. We're all divided. But you know what? We may not fall. Because God has another plan. Thank God. But he said right here that what God purposes will actually come to pass. And I believe God has something good in mind. I mean, a little dessert at the end. A little dessert. Oh, sorry. You thought it was all over with? Oh, not so. I have yet good news for Muslims. I have good news for Buddhists. I have good news for witchcraft people, Satanists. I have good news for all mankind. I've set my king on Mount Zion, and he will be exalted. So right now what's going on is a battle between light and darkness, truth and error, true and false. Truth will win. Light will win. God is going to win, and you're on the right team.
Amen.
What did you do? Nothing. What did God do? Ah, everything. God doesn't hate anybody. Golly, he picks sinners to encourage everybody. You can be one of these right here. It doesn't bother God. I'm sorry, you don't have to do good to be on the right side of God. You can actually be evil. And you know what? You are.
Amen.
Your heart is evil, totally selfish. All you want is for you. You can say Jesus all day long, but you just want for yourself. It's okay. He's not mad at you. He sent Jesus to die for that. That's over with. So now he's no longer mad. And don't worry about Satan. He'll get his comeuppance at the end. But you are not of Satan. You are of God. You are born of God. Believe in God. Stop working. Let God do all the work. You take the blessing, he gets the burden. You take the blessing, he gets the burden. Do you know the world today is all oppressed? But God's desire in this world, at this time, now, is to display his glory over all the kingdoms. And Satan has been thrown down. It's not Iran or Iraq or all that. It's not America. We're the big Satan and all that. That's not it. Satan is Satan. He doesn't even get a grave. He doesn't even have a tomb. He doesn't even have a sepulcher. You are the bride of Christ. And he wants everybody to be part of that bride. Will everybody do it? No, he's already told us they won't. But take as many as you can get. Live the life. Don't just talk it. Live it in such a way that you're happy all the time. No one's going to come to you if you look miserable. Some of you are scaring people away. All the customers that are coming in, you're just scared them away. Will I look like you? Will I look like you? Will I behave like you? No, there ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. I tell you, I go all over the world. But one of the things that I'm known for is, yahoo, everywhere I go. All people know that. Because I always do that whenever I get up. Glory! And I tell you, the third world loves noise. They love noise. They do. They love noise. Because somebody's happy. Somebody's got hope. Somebody's brought money. Somebody's here to do something. No, seriously. And I tell you, go to India, you go to China, you go to Israel, you go to any place in the world. People want hope. They want life. They want peace. They want joy. They don't know how to get it. You ought to be that person, not just talking about it, but be it. And if you show forth love, if you're not mad at anybody, I'm not. Even my enemies, I like them. Very good enemies. People that want to kill me, do me in. Good. Do a good job. Try to do your best. But you know what? If Jesus likes you, he'll protect you. And so far, the knife never went in my throat. It's been there. So far, I haven't been shot. The bullets have come. You know, so far, I've survived. Fell off the roof, all that stuff. So what? The main thing is I'm ready to die at any minute. But I'm also ready to live for the next minute, and the next minute, and the next minute. And I'm going to celebrate every minute of every second of every day. Because I'm already in heaven. I'm in heaven. Now, how many are blessed today? Right now. Amen. You can celebrate now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.